developed in olden times among the petty kings of the East. That pattern was that they had regular seasons and times to go to battle. They did not fight battles in those days all the time or in every season of the year, but rather those battles were fought at particular times. That's why the scripture says, at the time when kings go forth to battle. That means there was a time when kings did not go forth to battle. These kings about which the scripture is talking are wicked kings. They would use the springtime as a time for battle, perhaps, when the grass was green and good for food for their horses of battle. Or perhaps they would use the fall time when there were ample crops for their men to feed from as they would take other lands and other cities. And so at a particular time in the spring when the grass was the greenest, that was the time that the kings went forth to battle. At the time in the fall when the crops were at their peak, that was the time when the kings went forth to battle. So that's why we have the statement, the time when the kings go forth to battle. Now, these kings were not good kings. They were heathen kings, and they were little more than robbers. This was the way they made their money. Rather than, besides taxing their people, if they needed some extra money, they would conquer another city, take another land, conquer some more land, or conquer another country. Now, the wise cities prepared for these times. The wise king knew when other kings were going to go to war. And he would undergird himself and prepare for the time when kings would go to battle. For example, the wise king, the good wise king, would say, "It's about time for the kings to go to battle. And so let's prepare ourselves and undergird our forces in order that we might not be conquered by these wicked, petty kings of the East." Or maybe they'd say the crop is about at its zenith now, and the crop is about to be gathered. Right now, let's get our forces all ready. Let's prepare ourselves for the inevitable time when the kings go forth to battle. You know, that really is the difference between, I think, great churches and average churches. That's the difference between churches that have little trouble and churches that have lots of trouble. The time to prepare for the Satan to come to battle the church is not after the battle started, but before the battle is begun. The time to get ready, the time to lick the devil, is get ready for him before the battle. Now, there were kings who were kings of cities and lands who would not prepare their people for the time when kings go forth to battle. The kings would come, the enemy wicked kings would come upon them at a time they thought not, in which they were not prepared, and defeat was inevitable for the kings who were not prepared. However, the wise king said, it's getting close to the time when the kings go forth to battle. We must get ready for it. That's why, if you notice at First Baptist Church, most of my preaching is, preventive kind of preaching. I wonder how many sermons I preached in days gone by, getting us ready for this time. Preaching on, we're going to be out of the auditorium, let's not complain, let's be cooperative, let's do our job. Why? Because we are in a time when the kings, the wicked kings, Satan and his angels, are going forth to battle. We have to get ready for the battle. We have to prepare ourselves. Now, in order to know how to prepare ourselves, we have to be alerted as to when the kings go forth to battle. Now, in the first place, there are certain times in an individual life when kings go forth to battle. There are times when Satan is worse than other times. There are times when temptations are more intense than other times. There are times when the devil goes forth to battle in an intensity and a fury that it does not usually normally use. Now, we have to know these times and prepare for them. Now, in a person's life, in an individual life, I'm talking about now not just a saved person alone, but in a period of a person's life, when are those times when Satan and his kings go forth to battle against us more than other times? The first time that I call your attention is infancy. Infancy. The devil calls his kings forth to battle perhaps more in the child's infancy than any other time in his life. Do you know that children learn more before they're a year old than we dare ever realize or understand? That's why that we who are saved, as we have our children, and as the children are our little infants, we ought to say, we realize that the devil at this time is calling his kings forth to battle. Dr. Spott, in the about a generation ago, came out with his dirty, filthy trash, "Don't spank a child, you may retard his progress." Now, as I've said before, we didn't spank the child when he lit a match. Now we don't spank the child or put him in jail when he burns a bank. We didn't spank the child when he called mother and father a dirty name, and now we don't spank the child when he calls policemen a dirty name. We didn't stop the child's progress of little things he did that were wrong, and now that generation is grown up, and they're burning our shopping centers and rioting in our streets and ruining our schools and destroying our colleges, wrecking our young people. Why? Because the devil went forth to battle years ago and aimed at our children, the infants, if you please. And so what do we face today? A generation of spoiled brats who are 18, 19, 20 years of age, never have felt a spanking on their posterior, and had parents that swallowed Dr. Spock's, this messiah of paganism. They swallowed his gospel and believed it is truth as it was spread by his little demons from hell and the angels from hell that he sent forth and used as ministers of light, preachers to stand forth and say, "This is the way you rear your children." 10,000 times no, "This is the way you rear your children." And so what happened is this. We're going to have to get back to place to where we're going to have to realize that Satan, the kings go forth to war, not when a child is about 3 years of age, not when a child is 6 or 7, not when a child is 13 or 14, but the devil starts a concerted attack on that little child the moment you get that child home from the hospital. "Oh, but you say my child is too cute to spank. He won't be cute when he disowns you someday." "Oh, you say he's too sweet and too precious to spank his little bottom. But when his bottom gets big, it'll be loafing all the time, and he'll run off from home and set on it the rest of his life and run to Canada and evade the draft, and you'll live a life that's heartsick and brokenhearted." Why? Because you didn't get ready for it when the kings went forth to battle. That's why. Now, you listen to me. If you got a baby in the nursery, the devil's after that baby, and the devil's not going to start tempting that baby when he's 13 years of age. I've heard parents say this. They've said, "Well, we'll send our boys and girls to the Christian high school, but the grade school's not so bad." It'll be too late then, brother. It'll be too late then. Don't you think for a single moment the temptation is unique to 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old children. I mean, the devil goes forth to battle while that child is in the crib. The devil says, "Don't you discipline that child. Don't you spank his hands. Don't you cut his hair. He's a boy. Let him grow long ringlets, and you've got a hippie that's 6 months old in the crib. Don't retard the child's progress." Now, what I'm trying to say is this. I'm trying to say that if God has given you a baby or a little child, you better stop and realize that the moment that child was born, the devil in hell said, "Okay, all you little imps. Okay, all you little gremlins. Okay, all you little witches. Okay, all you little demons. Let's go down and get that child and work on the mom and the dad." And that's why that child ought to be in the nursery of our church the first Sunday he's home in the hospital. Time when kings go forth to war. There's a second time in a person's life when kings go forth to war, more than usual, and that is the teen years. I'm talking now about the years of junior high and high school. Do you ever stop to think what our kids have to face in this generation? We didn't know what a television was when we were kids. We didn't know much about what a radio was. If you put a curse word in the newspaper, it was written in Chinese or Japanese or asterisk. Nobody ever put a curse word in the newspaper. Yet our children face the dirtiest literature this world has ever seen. Why? Because the kings have gone forth to war to destroy their souls. They face a rotten television programming that is dedicated to destroying your kids and mine. They face the filth of the sex education in public schools. You can't spank a child. Did you know in this area and all around this country tonight, they are taking away children from the laps of mothers and fathers and placing them in foster homes, and that's not in another county, that's in this county, and that's in this area, and that's all across this nation. They're taking children out of the laps of mothers and dads and placing those kids in foster homes for one reason and one reason only, and that is because their moms and dads spank their children. Why? What's the trouble? I'll tell you what. The kings have gone forth to war to destroy your boys and girls. Let me tell you something. You better undergird. Yes, I trust my young people. Yeah, that's what a young couple said to me this week. They're expecting a illegitimate baby. Our parents trusted us. I'm trying to say, our problem today is not really a teenage problem. Our problem today is a parental problem that parents do not realize what's going on. Kids come to my office week after week, and they say, my mom and dad just do not realize what's going on in our public school system. You say, when are you going to get off the public school systems? I doubt if I ever will. I doubt if I ever will. Well, you say, I don't like it. Well, that's why I'm getting preaching about it. A person not right with God needs to hear stuff like this. I'm trying to say, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know what the children tell me. I weep more. Stay awake more. Work harder. My heart hurts more over the teenagers in our church than over all the rest of our people put together. Why? Because the kings have gone forth to war. You could come to my office. If you could have come to my office last night at 5:30, you could have stayed in my office until 11 o'clock last night and have heard the stories. I mean, one lie after another, like an army they came through. Children who said, I wish I'd listened to you. And young people, let me say, I don't know where the kids are anymore in this place, but wherever you are, young people, in God's dear name, I'm not just an old ogre that's up here that doesn't want you to have any fun while you're alive. I know what I'm talking about. People say, I just don't see anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Why don't you trust somebody who does then? They come to my office like almost counting cadence one after the other like an army, expecting babies before they're 16 years of age. I know what I'm talking about. I'm in our church. Expecting babies when they're 14 and 15 and 16 years of age. They come to my office on dope when they're 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 years of age. What you don't know is they're your kids. You don't know it. You won't trust the preacher. Time some of you parents decided you're going to trust somebody that knows more than you do about what's going on in this world. I mean, the devil has called his kings out. And he said, let's get the teenagers. And he's getting them. And by the way, he's not just getting them in liberal churches and in the world. He's getting them off the front rows of our fundamental churches. I go to fundamental churches and I preach in these schools across this nation. I mean some of the very best churches in America who have schools like we do. And I find they have almost as many pagans in those schools as the public schools have. That's one reason why at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, as long as I'm pastor, as long as I've got breath to breathe, as long as I've got a fist that'll wave, as long as I've got legs that'll move, as long as I have strength to preach, we're not going to change our convictions at Hammond Baptist High School. We're not, we're not, we're not, we're not, we're not, we're not. Why? The kings have gone forth to war to destroy our kids, and they're not going to get our kids out of battle for me, I'll tell you for sure. And we've tried to undergird our forces, realizing that in these teen years, 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, the junior high school age, the devil has launched an attack in this nation to destroy our children like we've never known before. We've got to get ready for him and undergird our forces, or they'll be defeated. We'll be defeated in the battle. Here's what they say. Here's what they say. I won't reveal a secret, and no one will know about anybody about whom I'm talking tonight. But here's a young girl comes to my office. Her face is painted like a Hollywood harlot. She sits across the study from me, and her tears begin to roll down her cheeks. It isn't long till this blue stuff. And in God's dear name, girls, get rid of that junk you put on your eyes. Good night in the morning. Why do you want blue eyes for? All that junk above your eyes that make you look like a freak of nature, save that for the last day of October. We were in a Howard Johnson's restaurant. Dr. John Rice and I were eating, and one of these girls came up. She looked like she was all blue. And Dr. Rice, in his tactless way, took his glasses off and said, "Who hit you in the eye?" She said, "What?" "We're up in Pennsylvania." He said, "Who hit you in the eye? You been in a fight?" She said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You got black eyes." She said, "Oh," she said, "I have a big nose." And she did. "I have a big nose." And she said, "I put this stuff on my eyes to try to detract attention from my nose. Maybe if Sully had wear it, he could detract attention from his stomach. But I try to attract attention from my nose." She said, "I have a big nose." And I looked at her and said, "You're not the only one right here that has a big nose either. The fellow right across the table from me has a big nose too." And but here it is. They come to my office and she sits across the room and she says, "Brother Hiles, I was a little girl. I heard you preach. I heard you stomp and holler. I didn't believe you." "Oh," she said, "Brother Hiles, my decency is gone. My purity is gone. My dreams have gone." And one little lady said, "I can't have a baby now." She said, "I've always dreamed of having a home and children, and I can't have babies now. Any hope is gone. I've sold myself into indecency. Oh, Brother Hiles, I wish I'd listened to what you said." I sat out there and slumped down in the seat and wouldn't listen to you. And I criticized you and laughed at you and said, "You're an old fogey." I'm not an old fogey. I'm not an old fogey. I'm not an old fogey. I just want you to turn out to be decent, that's all. And if being decent is an old fogey, count me as an old fogey. Being against liquor is an old fogey, count me as an old fogey. And if believing you ought to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and no, sir, is old fogey, count me as old fogey. And if being, if not smoking cigarettes and telling dirty jokes, not telling dirty jokes is old fogey, count me as old fogey. And if not listening to this dirty, rotten, filthy rock music is old fogey, count me as old fogey. Listen, I was grieved the other night. Grieved! When our young people sort of went down to a concert by, what's this guy, Denver? What? Denver. You know, you say, "Well, he's not so bad. He's not so good either. He's not so good." I got some rock music magazines, and he's featured in some of them. A man told me this, and I tried it myself. I went into a music store while I was gone this last week and asked this question: "What kind of music does this Denver fellow sing?" And they said, "He's a rock singer." I bought some magazines. On one side was his picture. On the other side were some words of songs he sings. Look, what in the world's wrong with the old-time religion? Why have you got to play around that borderline stuff anyhow? Good night. Listen to me. Why don't you trust somebody? You're going down a worldly path that's going to lead you to heartbreak and heartache one of these days. The kings go forth to war. And the kings go forth to war. And the kings go forth to war. You see a young lady sitting in my office, 13 years of age, 8 months pregnant, 13 years old. I said, "Where did it all start?" She begins to cry, and she says, "Well, preacher, I'm not even in high school yet. Do I have to give it up?" And I try to counsel with her. Tears roll down her cheeks. And I say, "What happened?" And she says, "My mother and dad let my boyfriend come over to our house while they weren't at home. And the mother and dad are horrified. As far as I'm concerned, they did something twice as bad as the young girl did." Now you say, "I just trust my kids." You're an idiot. Paul didn't trust himself. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, when are you going to believe me when I tell you the devil's going to destroy your kids if you don't listen to some of us who are trying to make something out of them? When are you young folks going to believe what I'm saying? Yeah, fella came to the office of the day. "Yeah, I said, I understand you've been in some trouble." "I don't think I have. I don't like the rules at Hammond Baptist anyhow." Well, if you don't like the rules, get your duds and leave. That goes to you college students, too. He walked out. I said, "You'll be back. You'll be back." "What do you mean?" I said, "You'll be back. They always come back. They always come back." He did. He came back. Life ruined. Wrecked. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. When the pastor stood up and said, "This is the time when the kings have gone forth to war." He didn't believe me. His parents didn't believe me. There are parents in this room right tonight. If I preach on ladies wearing slacks, for example, and I'm not sure any ladies ever wear slacks, but in case the lady accidentally wears them, I preach on ladies wearing slacks, for example. You say, "Brother Hiles, look, we're in the civic center. There are folks working out here, policemen, and don't holler all this about all these things we believe." Well, good night. That's the only way in the world I can get the truth to some of these folks. They'll never will come to hear me. We're paying these folks. Amen. We're paying them to listen. Amen. Don't be afraid. Everything's going to be okay. But you say to your children, "Well, Brother Hiles and I just don't see eye to eye on that." Well, suppose you and the doctor didn't see eye to eye on a medicine. I've seen enough kids go to the devil and have heard them tell me what sent them to the devil to deserve some of you folks to listen to me when I'm trying to teach you how to rear your kids. Time when the kings go forth to war in infancy and then in the teenage years. And then there's the third time in a person's life when the kings go forth to war in a special way, and that's when a new baby comes. When a new baby comes. Better watch it, young folks. When that new baby comes, the king goes forth to war on you. I'm thinking now, Dorothy, of a couple in Garland, Texas. He was a deacon, and I think by the time I get through this story, you'll know who it is. He was a deacon in our church. He was one of the finest soul winners we had. He was a man of some means. He'd go soul winning with me. He worked at the altar. He was a tremendous Christian. But he and his wife, up in years, I don't mean 65 and 70, I mean a little later than most people have babies, had a baby. And she found a spot of dirt in the nursery one time and thought her baby was too good to go to the nursery. It's an amazing thing to me. They can play in the front yard, but not in the nursery. Did you know there's more dirt in the yard than there is in the nursery? I think, last time I checked both. And so they brought that little baby to church. And the baby was an exceptionally good baby. And so one of them had to be playing with the baby. The baby would cry, and I, in my own tactful way, would make a suggestion or two as to what they do with the baby. Wasn't long, they wouldn't come to church on Wednesday night because, well, the baby came. Wasn't long till it was Sunday morning and not Sunday night. Wasn't long till it was every other Sunday morning. Had to go to conventions on every other Sunday. Wasn't long they weren't in church anywhere at all. And now they're in some dead, dry church in Garland, Texas. Why? Because the kings went forth to war when that baby was born. Now, moms and dads, listen to me. First place, we have the best nurseries in the country. But if there is a cockroach in the nursery, teach your kid to run from cockroaches. That's all. And I got news for you. I've been to some of your homes. And our nursery is sterilized compared to some of your places. I'm simply saying when a baby is born, that little infant comes. If you don't watch out, that little infant becomes between you, comes between you and God. And the kings have gone forth to war. There's another time when kings go forth to war, and that is success in business, when success in business comes. We have to watch it here. Brother McCord, I go back to Garland, Texas, where you serve now, and I was pastor there 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years ago. We had a bunch of young couples, just young couples. In fact, we had 22 adult classes, and the old ladies class was 35 and over. Old ladies class, 35 and over. We considered anybody senile that was over 40. And everybody's working for $1.50 an hour somewhere at defense plants and so forth. But now I go back, and some of those same people are millionaires. And a lot of them have their own businesses. They have a lot of money. And I say, ask the pastor, Pastor, does so-and-so sitting back in the back, does he go to church all the time? Only when you come to preach here, he said. He was a deacon when I was there. A deacon. And held an office. I mean, like clerk, treasurer, something like that. One of the best deacons I had. Pastor, does he go now? No, doesn't go now. That deacon over here, sitting over here, I said, how's he doing? Well, he comes on Sunday morning, and every once in a while on Sunday night, he's one of the best soul winners I had. And one after another, men and women who got a little bit of this world's goods has stumbled. You know, there's nothing so overrated as money. Nothing, I think. I never had any of it to overrate or underrate, but there's nothing so overrated as money. Suppose that City Hall's right over here, a block or two. Tomorrow morning I went over to City Hall and asked to see the mayor. I'll see Mayor Clinton. He is my friend, and we are good buddies. So I went over and I said, Mayor, I want to talk to you. And the mayor says, come on in, Reverend. I walk in. He used to call me Jack, but he learned his lesson when he called one day. Ms. O'Brien answered the phone. He said, is Jack in? She said, no, we have no one who works here named Jack. And he said, I want to talk to Jack. He said, we have no one here who answers to that name. He says, well, the pastor, Jack. She said, we have a Brother Hiles and a Pastor Hiles and a Dr. Hiles here. We have nobody here who answers to the name of Jack. He said, I'm the mayor. She said, I'm the receptionist. She wouldn't let him talk to me until he called me Brother Hiles or preacher. But he's I like him, and we have a good relationship. I walk in tomorrow morning, I say, Mayor, I want to talk to you. What is it, Reverend? You want to alley pave, don't you? That's the only thing I ever go for, you know. I want to alley pave, don't you? I said, no, sir, I want to take over City Hall. Let's just turn this into a political rally tonight. What do you say? And he says, why? And I'll say, okay, come on in. Come on, Fisk and Boardway and what's your name? Helton and Colston and Vineyard. Come on in and show him. Here comes old Helton in. Got two buckets with him full of concrete. He said, put it there. Look at there. I say, Mayor, look at there. That's all mine. That concrete. It's all mine. Come on in, Fisk. Old Fisk has a wheelbarrow full of concrete. Boy, he comes in. Now, look at there. That's mine, too. I want to take over this thing. That impress you? What? Hey, Vineyard, come on in. He has a concrete truck. He drives it by out in front and toots a horn. I said, Mayor, look out there. I said, that's mine. Concrete. Round, 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 round. I said, Colston, stumble on in. Stumble in, John. He comes in. He's got buckets of concrete. I say, Mayor, I want you to give me special attention. He says, why? And I said, I own all this concrete. Well, he said, I'm sorry about that. He said, you gone crazy, preacher? Well, Reverend, I've been worried about you for years, but you cracked up. I said, no, sir, it's all my concrete. Worked hard for it. He says, Reverend, you mixed up? I said, no, the concrete is. It's all mine. He said, Reverend, I don't mean to be unkind to you, but I'd like to tell you something. I'd like to remind you that you may be impressed because you have concrete, but he says, we in Hammond here, we just use that stuff to pave the streets. It's very common. Well, bless your little heart, they use gold to pave the streets in my hometown. Don't you try to buy me off. Fellow says, well, I want you to know I got a lot of money. I need some prestige. And you'll get prestige in our church when you go soul winning. I mean, don't you try to buy me off.
Why? I'll tell you why. Because money and silver and gold doesn't impress God. They pave the streets in heaven with that stuff. What I'm trying to say is this. Just because you get successful in business, don't you let the devil take you out of soul winning. Man, I thank God for the businessmen in our church. We've got some of the best soul winners we have in this room tonight are men who've been successful in business. And by the way, they're the most avid followers and believers of what I just said a while ago, too. Watch it. If you have a little baby, look out. The kings are going forth to war. If you have a teenager, watch out. The kings are going forth to war. If you have a business, watch out. Or if you're going up the social ladder, watch out. The kings are going forth to war. But let me say this, too. The kings also go forth to war. And you'll be surprised at this one. The kings also go forth to war in an extra special way to older people. Older people. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I can't teach a Sunday school class anymore. I'm 75 years old. Did you hear Dr. R.G. Lee preach at pastor school? Huh? He's 88 years old. He preached Payday Someday for an hour and 10 minutes, sat down for a few minutes, and preached again. Huh? I'm sorry, but that excuse has been shot full of holes, hasn't it? When you say, preacher, you're being unkind to me, eh? I'm just about to go to the great beyond. Well, you better hurry up and get somebody to take with you then. You say, never the higher. Wait a minute. I tell you what, I'm up in years. Well, I am too. I'm 48, going on 65. Let me tell you something. If God will let me live, if He'll let me live, and keep me with a voice, and keep me with enough strength, I'm going to be preaching when they roll me to the pulpit in a wheelchair. Amen. If God will help me, people say, Brother Hiles, you have a retirement plan? Yes, sir. I aim to preach when I retire. Now, I thank God for dear Mrs. Bartels. I use her an awful lot. But she's no young whippersnapper anymore. She's an old whippersnapper. But she out soul winning. Some of you folks that are 70, 75 years of age, if you're in good health, you have no right not to serve God. You know what's happened? The kings have gone forth to war and sold you a bill of goods. What you ought to be doing is I'm in it. Don't get mad at me. I hate to get the old ladies mad because they got more time to talk on the telephone than anybody else. But I just feel real reckless tonight and have. Feel like a self-abandonment. But some of you old gals, you ought to just take your lumbago on a bus route every once in a while. Huh? You say, holy preacher. I like it when you preach against the teenagers. Us jolly 60s and senile 70s and so forth, we just, I can't even hear what you're saying. Okay, I'll talk louder then. Every single Christian ought to serve God. Unless he's sick in bed or almost dead. The kings go forth to war. Now, I hasten to say, and I'm lying every time I say that, I never hasten to say anything. But there's a second thought, and that is a church sometimes has seasons when the kings go forth to war. Our church is in one of those times right now. There are three reasons. There are three eras through which our church is passing simultaneously. Did you know that the devil and the kings go forth to war to destroy a church more during a building program than any other time? More churches have trouble. I was in a church not long ago that split right down the middle. I mean right down the middle over green or red songbooks. Green or red songbooks. I mean, there was a green Baptist church and a red Baptist church. I recall when I came to this church one time, we had 1 hour argument at the business meeting over whether the American flag should be on the right of the pulpit or the left of the pulpit. How many of you folks were in that meeting that night? Remember that? We argued. We really went to Fifth City. That means we went to battle. So I just snuck in, took both the flags down. We haven't had any trouble since then. And I still don't know which goes on which side. I suggest we just alternate them, have one just switch them, just like that. But building program.
I tell you what, all he wants is money. All he wants is cash, cash, cash.
No, I want some checks and bonds, too.
I mean, during a building program, the kings go forth to war. Better watch it.
But there's something else. The kings go forth to war when a church doesn't have its own building. It's not as easy to have a good spirit in this building as it is in our own church. I thank God for this building. Thank God we have it. And thank God it's close enough where we can drive down here and keep our nurseries there. And by the way, you won't find any nicer people than the folks who work here at the Civic Center. I mean that. And these folks who work here at the Civic Center, they're gentlemen and they're ladies and they're courteous to us. And we don't have any people treat us any nicer than the folks who work around here. These policemen and these custodians and these maintenance men and these engineers and these PA men, they are somebody nice and they're gracious and friendly and courteous. And we thank God for this. But it's a hard time for us. But I'll tell you another thing, too. Did you know that the kings go forth to war in a church during the Thanksgiving Christmas season more than most any other time of the year? Now, we have three things. We're away from home, we're in a building program, and we're coming up to the Thanksgiving Christmas season. That means that you're going to double up on your prayer life, double up on your Bible study. You're going to have to work harder in your own private devotional time and your own fellowship with God and the jobs that God has given you to fulfill and perform. You've got to work harder. Why? Because in the next 10 weeks or so, this church will have never been attacked by the devil like he's attacking the church right now. Why? Because the devil knows he's got us weak. He knows he knows that we don't have stairs in here. And if you folks in the balcony come down to the altar, he knows that you have to make a long trip and you're not as likely to come. He knows that we don't have any altars here, any steps, and no carpet placed to kneel. He knows that. He knows that if he can keep you off your knees at this altar for 10 or 12 weeks, he knows he's got you. The kings have gone forth to war. There's a third thing very quickly, and that is the Christian life has times when the kings go forth to war. One time is right after a person gets saved. The kings go forth to war. By the way, the kings go forth to war right after most anything we just start. You become a soul winner. You'll find the devil will fight you more than there ever has fought you before in your life. You get saved, some backslidden preacher will say. Well, you can't get baptized till we're sure you're saved. If that's the case, he can't ever get baptized himself. Nobody's ever sure anybody else is saved. But the kings go forth to war right after salvation, right after you become a soul winner. In fact, the kings go forth to war all the time on soul-winning ministry. A man walked in my office today. He's a preacher. Maybe here tonight. Lives down in the eastern part of our state. A church without a pastor talked to him. And the first thing they said was, the perfect minister said, and this wasn't even here. Church was way out east in another state. First thing they said, we want to know, are you a Hiles man? Said, if you're a Hiles man, we don't want you. Amen. Oh, good. I wouldn't know it, but the way you chose to say amen there. If you're a Hiles man, we don't want you. Now, that's the first thing. First thing wasn't, do you believe the Bible? The first thing wasn't, do you believe in the deity of Christ? They didn't say, the first thing you want to know, are you a soul winner? No, the first thing you want to know is, if you're too hot for soul winning, we don't want you. We don't want you. Why? You're a Hiles man. What does that mean? It means decency. What does that mean? It means soul winning. What does that mean? It means a hellfire and damnation preacher. Can't be bought off. What does that mean? It means a man of God. What does that mean? It means soul winning. What does that mean? It means altar calls. What does that mean? It means growth and scattered abroad everywhere preaching the gospel. What does that mean? It means getting a job done for God 365 days a year. That's what it means, but the world doesn't want that. Why? Because the kings are going forth to war against the, forgive me, Hiles churches, they call them. They're not Hiles churches, but that's what they call them. You know why these fellows come to pastor school and get grit in their crawl? Maybe get a bigger crawl. Go back home and double their attendance, triple their attendance, baptize half a deacon board, and they ought to drown the other half probably, and and not our deacons, but theirs, and some of these God's gifts to Wall Street decide they don't want the preacher anymore. You know why? Because the preacher is a man of God, and folks are being saved, and they're going to lose their seats that they've had for 85 years on the third row next to the aisle. Now, I don't know how many times I've preached, and I'll continue to preach on this subject. We've got to watch it. The kings have gone forth to war against our church. And during these weeks, a while ago before I left the church, I took a walk. And I walked over to the old auditorium, looked around a while, wished I was there tonight. You wish I were there too, huh? And he's not much, but he's the only amener I got in the choir. He doesn't know when to say it or how loud to say it, but thank God he says it. One morning I was preaching. I said, thank God he saved a wretch like me. Oh, Lad said, amen, amen, amen. Oh, shut up in the balcony. I walked over to the other building a while ago and I said, dear Lord, let us have the same sweet spirit in the Civic Center we've had here through these years. Wouldn't it be an awful shame to go back after 10 weeks or so and have lost the sweetness? That's one reason why I told the singer this morning, we had a meeting. I said, look, sing something with a lilt to it. I mean, you know, we're in the Civic Center. If we want to shoot some baskets, folks can't say we're profaning the sanctuary. You know, we want to bring Brother Fisk in his basketball uniform. You couldn't get by with that in church. And don't think we're going to do it in the new auditorium. In fact, I wouldn't want to see those legs again anywhere. But I said to Mrs. Colston, I said, play an offertory some lilt to it. And I said, let's sing the familiar songs, and let's just be ourselves, and let's just sing and preach and get right with God and win souls just like we would have back in the old home church when the kings go forth to war. Now I'm talking to somebody tonight who has a little baby. That baby may be a year old. If that baby's a year old and you haven't spanked his hand yet, the kings are warring on your child. Oh, you say, Brother Hyle, spank an innocent little baby? No, I don't believe in spanking innocent little babies. The Bible says the wicked go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. I mean, before a child gets out of the hospital, he cries when he doesn't hurt. He's lying. Bible says, Psalm 58:3, the wicked go astray as soon as they're born. What? Speaking lies. They're lying at the hospital. Hold their breath. Turn purple. What are they saying? I want to die. Little liars. You say, you talking about my baby in the nursery? Yes, I am. Well, my baby's not a liar, but his mom is. And little leopards have spots because mama leopards have spots. I'm trying to say, you better get that baby. The devil's going to get him. The devil doesn't wait till he's 3 years old to work on him. Better get him. I recall when Becky was born and I got a Scofield reference Bible and went to that room, the hospital, held that Scofield Bible up and said, Becky! Hey, this is the Bible! Folks out there calling me a nut and a fool may have, but I didn't wait till he's 3 years old. You better not wait till yours are three either. You ought not to have to clean out the living room because you have a baby that just learned to walk. Take that baby on a guided tour. Walk up to that vase and say, no, 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 no. And what the baby will do, he's got any sense. He reached out to get it. Take his little hand and...
No.
And spank it to smart. How you know when it hurts? If your palm of yours is hurting, you know that... Now, I know what I'll get some anonymous letters from some of you courageous souls. Say, you're cruel! No, you're cruel. Don't you... Listen, if you just sign your name, I'll write your anonymous letter back. Say, you're cruel! You're cruel! Take him on a guided tour. No. Tell you what he'll do. By the time he's about 12, 13 months old, he'll be taking the tour and he'll be saying, No. Some of you folks have rented your house out to your kids. You haven't had to move everything. They've moved it for you. They break your vase now. They break your heart when they're 15 or 16. Now you say, when they're little, they break your back. When they're big, they break your heart. Don't have to. They don't have to. Say, No. Some of you folks have rented your house out to your kids. You haven't had to move everything. They've moved it for you. They break your vase now. They break your heart when they're 15 or 16. Now you say, when they're little, they break your back. When they're big, they break your heart. Don't have to. They don't have to. Don't have to. You better get back. You better watch it. The kings have gone forth to war against your little babies. One little kid out in Southern California, I was at the book table after I'd preached one night, and I was telling him my book on how to rear children. One little boy, about 6 years old, was saying to his mom, Mama, buy it. Mama, buy it. Mama, buy it. The other little kid looked at him and said, Don't tell her to buy it. Don't tell her to buy it. He said, Why? He said, If you knew what was in there, you wouldn't want your mama to ever buy that book. How you know? Said, My mama got a copy. The kings have gone forth to war. Teenagers, devil's after you. Wherever you are, I don't know where you are. Devil's after you. Been listening to rock music? Get right with God and quit that garbage. I don't see anything wrong with it. Quit it anyhow, because I...